Good morning. It is indeed a privilege to be with you this morning. I would like to thank you all for being here. As we look at modern technology, we see over time, we see a lot of advances. We sometimes talk, people my age will sometimes talk about something and we will refer to the younger generation as they don't know what this is or they have no idea what it is. In fact, it's been said that the younger generation, all we have to do is write in cursive and they will not understand what we're writing. It'd be like a code to them. But technology has come a long way. In some aspects we've backed up and in some aspects we've gone forward. If you think about, say, for instance, a mousetrap, it was said that there could never be made a better mousetrap than the mousetrap that has been invented. And many people have tried and they've come up with all kinds of contraptions, some of which will catch a lot more mice than the traditional mousetrap, but they're cumbersome or they're complicated or they just don't work as well in other areas. Also, they've been made some mousetraps that'll catch a mouse just as efficiently as the mousetrap is there, but it works better in the fact that it will not snap your fingers or it's impossible to get your fingers caught in it, but that doesn't make it a better trap at catching mice. So the theory still stands that the original mousetrap is probably an invention that can't be really improved upon. Other things can be improved upon over time. We have seen things like, say for instance, how many of you use the coffee makers that use the little coffee pods? You put the pod in, you push the thing down and it makes your cup of coffee and it gets ready. It readies itself for another cup and you throw the pod in there and make it. Before that, we had the Mr. Coffee type coffee makers that had the filters. And those filters, you put the coffee in there and then the coffee filters through that and down into your cup or into the pot and then you pour it into your cup. But those of you who may remember even farther back, they had percolator coffee pots and they had a filter system, but it wasn't a filter per se. It was a strainer, so to speak, and you would put the coffee in there and then the steam would make the coffee into the pot. But you would oftentimes end up with coffee grounds in your coffee cup. And those modern coffee drinkers of late do not know what it's like to drink a cup of coffee with coffee grounds in their coffee cup because technology has advanced to the point that we don't have to do that anymore. We don't get that anymore. For those of you who still use those coffee cups with paper or coffee pots with paper filters, you can buy or you can go online and find over 1,000 different uses for those filters other than making coffee. Filters. Wouldn't it be nice if we could filter out everything that everyone says to us? We could filter out the bad things and not have to listen to the things that are being said around us. Have you ever heard someone say, make a statement about a man or a woman, say he or she just doesn't have a filter? Meaning that person says whatever comes to their mind, regardless of how it makes them look or how it makes others look or how it makes others feel. Well, I really believe that there are some people who need to hear the unfiltered truth. We sometimes need to make sure that we have on ourselves filters on our mouths to filter out those things that we're saying, to regulate those things that we say. If we fail to do this, then our religion itself can be affected. James chapter 1 and verse 26. James chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's interesting to see how many people claim to be religious that have a problem or have a difficult time controlling their tongue, controlling their mouths, controlling what they say. In fact, many of them don't even try to control their language. They don't even try to control their speech. They just say whatever comes to mind. If it's profanity, they don't care. They spit it out. If it's hurtful to someone, they don't care. They needed to hear that. Whatever the case may be. James chapter 3 and verse 10. James chapter 3 and verse 10. It says in James 3 and verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Whenever we read this verse, we have a tendency to think that it's talking mainly about profanity. That when it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, these things ought not so to be. And I would have to agree that it is talking about profanity. It is talking about cursing in any respect. Anything that curses, anything that is not edifying. Okay, so it's not necessarily talking about, well, that's not a bad word, so I can say that. If you call someone an idiot to their face, you may not have said a bad word. Idiot is not considered a bad word unless maybe to a little kid, but it may not be a bad word, but it is not a good word. It is not something that is edifying. So when we look at this and we think that we're okay with something as long as we're not spewing forth profanity out of our mouths, I guess I'm okay. I'm saying everything right. I'm not doing anything wrong. The truth, however, is that we can really say things that cause damage or cause a lot of damage with our tongues. We can hurt people's feelings. We can upset the balance of things. James chapter 3 and verse 8. Again, James chapter 3 and verse 8. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue is full of deadly poison. That's an interesting passage there. Have you ever told someone about a conversation you were having and you were telling them, and I said this, and I told her this, or I told them that, and what I really wish I would have said was this. What I should have said this. I guess hindsight's 20/20. I should have said this. In that respect, what we're doing is we had a conversation with someone and our filter was working, but we were wishing that it hadn't been working so we could have said what was really on our minds. And I'm sure that I'm guilty of this myself, because I've said that myself. I brought that statement up. Well, I really should have told him was this. When in reality, I said exactly what needed to be said. I said the things that were being filtered out through the Word of God. So if the filter's on, but you wished you had not used it, maybe in those cases we need to bring to mind the sentiment of the psalmist from Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14, and we should probably keep this ever ready in the back of our mind. Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What that's saying there, it's a prayer. It is a petition to God. Let the words of my mouth be and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. He's not saying, I'm going to say whatever I want to say, and I want you to accept it, Lord. Please go ahead and accept it. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying, let me say those things, only those things that are acceptable in your sight. Let me say only those things that are, oh Lord, help me to only say those things that are acceptable in your sight. He's not saying accept the things that I say no matter what they are, no matter how brutal, no matter how hurting they are to others. He's basically saying that we filter our words the best we can, pray that we've done a good enough job to be acceptable unto God. Some people have the attitude, I am who I am, I say it how I see it, and let God filter it out. Well, that's a bad attitude right there. That's like the guy that says, well, I give to the church every week. How do you determine how much you give? He said, well, I throw up all my money in the air, and whatever God wants, he can keep, and whatever falls back down, he decided to give it back to me. That's kind of the way of saying, well, I speak what the way I am who I am. I say what I want to say. I say whatever I mean. Let God filter it out. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2 shows the fallacy of this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Choose your words wisely. If there's ever a problem that a preacher has, it's choosing his words wisely. It may not be a problem, but it'll be something that's ever on his mind. It's something that he always has to consider. You think about who you talk to. You think about the people you speak to throughout the week. You think about going home and talking to your wife or your husband or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your children, your parents, whoever you're speaking to. You know who you're speaking to, and you know who they are, and you know how to adjust your speech. When you walk away from that conversation and you go to have a conversation with someone else, you know what that conversation is going to be about. You know what they feel. You know what they think. When you're speaking to an audience that's varied, some people may get their feelings hurt by the truth. Some people may get their feelings hurt if you don't soft-pedal the truth. Some people may get their feelings hurt no matter what you say, no matter what you do. Some people may be offended because you do not speak clearly. Some people may be offended because when we talk about the truth, we got to watch what we do in order to filter things out correctly. Whether we like it or not, we're often defined by the words that we speak. Who we are defines us most of the time by the words that we speak. What was that old phrase? People are going to think that you're an idiot. No sense opening your mouth and proving them right.
If and you talk like a redneck, people going to think you a redneck. You imagine somebody, you go to a church and you go to visit and the preacher gets up and he's wearing a nice suit and he's clean cut, he's nice and trim, and he goes, "How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Everybody in here doing okay today? Y'all make it all right?" Think, man, that guy's a redneck right there. If we talk like a heathen, people are going to know that we're a heathen. I don't say that somebody's going to step into the pulpit and talk like a redneck and they're going to think he's a redneck. They're going to know he's a redneck because the way he talks, and I use that word loosely. You can look up redneck in the dictionary. Just a hardworking individual. But the way we speak defines who we are. Oftentimes the things that we say come out of our mouth define who we are. And it tells others who's inside here. It's sad indeed that many people really don't care how they come across. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. It says here in 1 Timothy 5:13, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Now this verse is talking about the young widows in this passage, and I don't mean to take this verse out of context, but this verse does tell us some things that are some various Bible truths or biblical truths in light of what he's saying. It brings to light the fact that there are some things that we ought not to say or some things that we just ought not to be talking about. There are some things that we just shouldn't talk about. We shouldn't be talking about. And that word tattlers means someone that rambles on. Many times someone can't wait to tell someone else some juicy gossip that they heard. They can't wait. As soon as they walk in the door, I got to get on, go call them or go to their house and talk to them and say, "Hey, have you heard this?" or whatever, and to spread gossip. Just before Paul preached on Mars Hill, he encountered some of these people in Athens, those people that just couldn't wait to say things. Those people were eager to hear what he said because they looked at the gospel as maybe he's bringing some new gossip to us. They were so eager to hear gossip that they accepted or they heard God's word being preached to them and they listened very intently. Acts chapter 17 and verse 21. Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, it says, this is a parenthetical quote taken out of the passage, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." These people, they live for this. They live to either go out and tell some new gossip or hear some new gossip. How many people do you know that would rather do nothing else but to tell or hear some new thing? It's not bad to hear new things or to tell new things. However, gossip is like a wildfire. Gossip is like a wildfire. Many times that wildfire tends to burn the innocent person or the person that is the accusation of the gossip most. That is the person most likely to get burned by the fire of gossip. And gossip spreads like wildfire, and the tongue is the one that starts the fire. James chapter 3 and verse 6. James chapter 3. And verse 6, and here it tells us in James 3 and verse 6, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. It says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Okay, the strife will stop where there's no one to spread the gossip. The gossip stops here. It stops when you stop to saying it and stop spreading it. Stop it. That's where it stops. How many times have you heard of something and then somebody says something and you're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That's not right. That's not true. That may not be." Okay, so I could tell somebody in the front row here, I could tell them something, and then they turn around and they tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else, and somebody else, and eventually it gets all the way around. It comes back over here, and they say, "Hey, you know what you said?" Tyler comes up and he goes, "Hey, there's been a rumor going on about me, and they said you're the one started it, and that's not true. This is what actually took place. That's not true." "I'm sorry, Tyler. That fix it? What about all the other people that still believe it's true? What about all the other people that think different about Tyler because of something I may have said?" I just gave you an illustration that stayed right here in this room. What about social media? Posting something that may not be true, may or may not be true. It just sounds really good. I'm going to share that. I'm going to send that to everybody. We have to be very, very careful, because when we speak on social media, it's the same as if we were speaking in person. We open our mouths, and things that come out of our mouths are far-reaching. Far-reaching. Where no wood is there, the fire goeth out. This doesn't mean that we can't talk. It simply means that we need to filter the things that we say. I'm sure we've all been hurt at one time or another by some words that someone has said, either to us, about us, or about someone that we know and care about. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22. Proverbs 26 and verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, like a cut, like a gash, like a sore on the flesh. It's hard to forget when someone has used harsh words or unwarranted criticism towards us, but we may not so easily remember those times that we hurt someone else or said something damaging to someone else. How hard is it to control the tongue? We may find that it's sometimes easier not to say anything at all. I'm sure you've all used or heard the phrase, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. This passage tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Here's where that word cursing comes in and shows us that it's broad spread. It's more than just bad words. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The words that we say can minister grace to the hearers. Have you ever thought of the words that you speak as being edifying to others? Sometimes you may encourage someone, man, you really did a good job. I really appreciate you. I really thank you for all you've done for me. Those words are edifying. But it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If we really think about what we're going to say before we say it, perhaps we can learn to filter our words to the point that we are edifying to everyone around us. I mentioned earlier that we are defined by the words that we speak. And that is confirmed in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Jesus here speaking says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Very, very clear passage. Very interesting passage. Jesus often uses common terms that we're used to seeing to illustrate his point. And in this passage, he uses fruit trees as his illustration. What if you had a job working for a local grower or a local fruit grower, and he told you, he said, I have some people coming, I have some customers coming, and they're going to come and they're going to want to pick some fruit. I've got some signs here. They don't know what they're looking for, so I need you to go out and I need you to put a sign on the row of trees that says peach trees, and label them as peach trees, and I want you to label the pear trees, and I want you to label the orange trees and the tangerine trees. Label all the rows of trees. So he hands you the signs, and you don't have to know what the leaf looks like. You don't have to know what the bark looks like. You don't even have to know what the tree looks like in order to know what the tree is. All you need to know is what the fruit looks like, because you can tell the difference between a pear and an orange, or you can tell the difference between a pear and a peach. This one's got pears growing on it, but I'm not real sure. The bark looks like it might be a peach tree, or the leaves kind of look like a pomegranate. I'm just really not sure that's a pear tree. If it's got pears growing on it, you know it's a pear tree. We know that by the fruit. He uses this expression because he's like, anybody can figure this out. You know the tree by the fruit that's on it. A Likewise, the things that we do and the things that we say will tell others exactly what we really are all about. Are we as Christians bearing the fruit of Christianity? Are we bearing the fruit of heathens or the world out there? He then goes on to tell them that they can't speak good things because they are evil. And here's where the filter is. It isn't something that we put over our mouths and we cover our mouths so that people can't hear the words we're saying, or that our words are coming through as saying something else.
It's different than that. It is what is most prevalent in our hearts that comes out of our mouths. Therefore, we filter what's coming out of our mouths by guarding that which goes into our heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
So from what we have learned, we need a filter out to filter out what we say. And the things we say confluence in our hearts. Therefore, we also need filters on what comes in or what we take in, in order that the abundance of our heart is not evil, but is rather good. If we constantly surround ourselves with worldly people or worldly things and spend time in worldly places, we will be filling our hearts with worldly things. It may not be so much that we're engaging in worldly practices as it is that we're letting the bad influences into our lives or the worldly things into our minds. Sometimes it's difficult because we have to be part of the world. We have to be in the world. We don't have to be of the world. You ever heard someone tell a joke that was inappropriate and you still thought it was funny? Have you ever heard someone say something that was hilariously funny, but it was very, very wrong? I shouldn't even be laughing at that. But that's funny. I don't care who you are. This is how Satan desensitizes us to evil practices of the world, the things we listen to on the radio, the things that we watch on television, or even the things that we read can influence our thinking, the people we talk to, the people we listen to. I don't know how you were when your children were growing up, but when my children were growing up, there were certain kids that I said, you're not going to be friends with him. You're not going to write, come on, Dad, who are you? You're going to pick my friends? You bet I am. You ain't hanging around with him. I'm sorry. He's either going to have to make a lot of changes or you're not hanging around with him. We didn't flat out tell him, no, if you hang around with that person, you're not. We tell him, you need to make good choices. You need to say, this is not a good person to hang around with. We need to know. You need to know he's not a good person to hang around with. Or she's not a good person to hang around with. Fill your mind with worldly things for very long. Soon you will not think there's anything wrong with those worldly things. They will come to you as second nature. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Whenever we follow after the things of the world, we're moving away from the things of God. Therefore, we're not filtering out that which is bad. James chapter 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Here it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How many people do you know that are rushing out to try to be friends with the world? They want to be as worldly as they possibly can. How many people do you know that are enemies of God? Same question. Or rather, different question, same answer, same people. If I were to have asked you that question, how many people do you know that are enemies of God, at the beginning of the sermon, you probably would have thought I lost my mind. However, when you look at this verse, it's plain to see that we can't afford to be attaching ourselves to the things of the world. I personally don't want to be an enemy of God. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is an enemy of God. How many people are missing from our worship assembly today because they're out being friends with the world? It's a scary thought. Whenever we think about all the technological advances we've made in the last 100 years or so, one thing that's really not considered is how far we've come with filtration devices. And still we have a difficulty filtering the things that are coming out of our mouths. We still hurt one another. We still attack one another. And sometimes it's not because we don't have a filter. It's because we rather choose not to use it.
be careful and remember that we are the children of God. We can't just let anything slip out of our mouths. We have to be edifying to one another by speaking the oracles of God. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or if you need prayers of the congregation, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?